Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst-case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Continuing on our Women's History Month celebration, today we're discussing the classic horror film, Carrie. Here's what you need to know. Based on the 1974 Stephen King novel of the same name, the 1976 horror movie classic, Carrie, tells the story of a bullied high school girl who uses her special powers to get back at her tormentors. The movie opens on Carrie being ridiculed during gym class. Shortly after, in the locker room, she gets her period for the first time while in the shower. She has no idea what's happening to her and freaks out. Her classmates taunt her and hurl tampons and maxi pads at her. It's then that we see Carrie use her powers for the first time when a light bulb above her suddenly explodes. Later, Miss Collins, Carrie's gym teacher, convinces the principal to let Carrie go home for the day. But when he calls her into his office, he keeps calling her by the wrong name, and Carrie uses her mind to smash his ashtray.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
Meanwhile, we meet Carrie's extremely religious mother, Margaret, as she goes door to door preaching.
I have something here I know is going to interest the doctor and you. Teenagers' path to salvation through the cross of Jesus.
Her neighbor, Mrs. Snell, politely kicks Margaret out of her house, just as her daughter, Sue, a classmate of Carrie's, walks in and gets a peek into Carrie's family life. Back home, Margaret tells Carrie that now that she has her period, she's a sinner, then beats her with a book. Margaret locks Carrie in her prayer closet and tells her to pray for forgiveness. When she's finally allowed out, Carrie goes into her room and spots her reflection in a mirror. She uses her powers to shatter it. Back at school, the girls who bullied Carrie are told that if they don't serve detention, they won't be allowed to attend prom, which is happening soon. Meanwhile, Carrie's at the library looking up telekinesis. Ah, she finally has a name for her powers. During after-school detention, Miss Collins makes the girls do a rigorous workout, and one of the girls, Chris, throws a tantrum. She leaves detention, even though it means that now she can't go to prom. Sue, feeling guilty about the locker room incident the other day, convinces her boyfriend Tommy to ask Carrie to be his date for prom. Later that night, main mean girl Chris comes up with a plot along with her boyfriend Billy to spill pig's blood all over Carrie at prom. The next day, Tommy finds Carrie in the library and asks her out to prom. Carrie is startled and runs away. Miss Collins notices Carrie is sulking and encourages her to accept Tommy's invitation. After a visit from Tommy at her house, Carrie reluctantly agrees to go to prom with him. This angers her mother, who tells her to go to the prayer closet.
After the flood come the boys, like sniffing dogs, running and slobbering and trying to find out where that smell comes from, where the smell is. That smell.
But Carrie is determined to go to prom, and much to Margaret's surprise, she uses her powers on her mother for the first time.
Please talk to me!
At prom, Carrie actually starts to have a nice time. Tommy is really kind to her, and they share a dance. But behind the scenes, Chris and Billy are moving forward with their plan. They've asked their friends to help rig the vote, and the entire class is shocked when Carrie and Tommy win prom queen and king. Carrie is beyond happy as she and Tommy make their way onto the stage. Sue tries her best, but fails to stop Chris and Billy from pulling the rigged rope and dumping a bucket of pig's blood all over Carrie. There's a stunned beat as Carrie's mood shifts when she notices people are laughing at her.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Tommy is pissed on her behalf, but accidentally gets hit with a bucket, knocking him out. In a fit of rage and embarrassment, Carrie uses her powers to close all the doors to the gym, trapping everyone inside and killing everyone at prom. Chris, Billy, and Sue have all left before this happens, so they survive. But as Carrie walks home, Billy and Chris are driving and attempt to run her over. Carrie sends their car flying. It crashes, and they both die. Once home, Carrie barely notices all the candles arranged for what looks to be like some kind of seance. She goes straight upstairs to clean off the blood. Her mother confides in her that Carrie was conceived in sin, aka her husband was drunk and she enjoyed having sex. Margaret seemingly consoles her daughter, but that is short-lived. Just then, Margaret stabs Carrie in the back. Carrie recovers enough to escape, and just as Margaret is about to stab her again, Carrie mentally throws several knives into her mother, crucifying her in the doorway. Carrie uses her powers to collapse the house and set it on fire, dying inside. Days later, Sue has survived everything and is struggling emotionally. She visits Carrie's grave. Her tombstone is a for sale sign where her house used to be, with graffiti writing that reads, "Carrie White burns in hell." Suddenly, a hand comes out of the ground and grabs Sue. But she wakes up, screaming. It was only a nightmare.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Fun facts, aka death stats. The death count is potentially in the hundreds. It includes everyone at prom except Sue, Chris and Billy, Carrie's mother, and Carrie herself. Carrie is based on the 1974 novel by Stephen King. Carrie was King's first published novel, as well as the first of his works to become a movie 2 years later in 1976. Since 1976, Carrie has been adapted four different times. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello.
And our very special guest today is Chelsea Fry. Chelsea stars in The Moodies on Fox, and season two is actually premiering April 1st. Chris will also be featured in season two of The Moodies, so make sure to tune in.
Thank you so much. I almost said no because working with Chris was really tough for me.
Well, you know, you asked me to, I mean, you begged me for help sort of trying to publicize the show, and it was kind of embarrassing for you. And, you know, I was like, sure, my wife has a podcast. Mm-hmm. And so you were like, please, 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 and I'll pay you. And then her manager called me and begged. And so we
I don't recall that.
Well, you guys do like a professional plug for The Moodies.
The Moodies is a comedy show on Fox about a tight-knit but slightly dysfunctional family that lives in Chicago. And all the three adult children are essentially living at home. Essentially, I don't know why I said that. They are just living at home. And all dealing with their own like romantic mishaps and just like job issues and divorces and breakups and all the things. Yeah. And then my character meets Chris and all goes downhill from there. Really.
But it's really, really funny. It's such a good show. I'm a big fan, not just because Chris is in it. Transitioning into Carrie, it's so much to put on, and it goes with our Women's History Month theme. We have been covering, maligned women in history, and boy, is she one of them. Now, first off the bat, we got to put Carrie's mom up on the board. That's an obvious one. She's extremely religious. She shames Carrie for getting her period. Very normal. Everyone gets it, but apparently Carrie needs to be shamed for it. She abuses Carrie and convinces her she's evil and worthless, making it hard for Carrie to be normal at school. And she physically stabs Carrie in the back at the end. Just a few reasons why Mama should go up on the board.
Mm-hmm. The mom also clearly has some kind of untreated mental illness. I don't know if it's bipolar or if she gets manic or what, but to me, there's something not right there. It's not just religious zealotry. Like, there's something broken there. And at the end of the movie, when Carrie comes home, she talks about how she was raped by her husband.
Yeah, I guess the way I saw it was just that he was drunk and they had sex and she liked it, and that's why she called it sin.
Yeah. I mean, I guess let me go back and look at that dialogue, because to me it seemed like her accounting of things was that she was raped. It just seems like that was a sort of a critical moment in her life when Carrie was conceived.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was sort of forced on her or not was, and so there might be some trauma. Untreated trauma there.
Yeah.
Right, but we have to put religious fanaticism up on the board. Should we just sort of put that up right now since it kind of goes with the mom?
Yes, mm-hmm. Let's put that up. You know, she's convinced that Carrie is getting her period, getting her period is evidence that she has sinned. She beats her, locks her up for this. Margaret is also convinced that the daughter is the devil and even tells her so. So this is a line from the movie. Margaret White says, "I should have killed myself when he put it in me." I think this is what you're looking for, Chris.
Yeah.
"After the first time, before we were married, Ralph promised never again. He promised and I believed him. But sin never dies. Sin never dies." Now, she does a much better job of...
No, I thought that performance
it's
was really
intense.
Good.
And then she goes on. "At first, it was all right.
We lived sinlessly. We slept in the same bed, but we never did it. And then that night, I saw him looking down at me that way. We got down on our knees to pray for strength. I smelled the whiskey on his breath. Then he took me with the stink of filthy roadhouse whiskey on his breath. And I liked it. So she did say, I liked it. With all that dirty touching of his hands all over me, I should have given you to God when you were born, but I was weak and backsliding, and now the devil has come home. We'll pray. We'll pray for the last time.
It sounds like it wasn't so much rape as she just felt guilty for giving in to her sin.
That's what it sounds like. And she's obviously a fanatic. I mean, she's going around houses preaching, talking about God's blood. There's a lot of blood references in this movie.
Well, she's also talking about keeping teens away from sex. Like, that seems, yeah, that's her main area of focus. There's so much sin out there. These kids, mm-hmm, are sinners and, yes, all that stuff.
This seems to be a turning point in her life. The moment where she has sex with her husband, likes it, then gets pregnant. Complicated.
Yeah, I think things aren't looking good for the mom. I have a feeling she's very culpable. What else do we have to put on the board? Because I'm immediately thinking, like, lack of health education in the public school system.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Carrie's mom was obviously not going to teach her about getting her period. And that seems to be the trigger that set off her telekinesis. And so it's like, if she had known what it was.
Yeah, if they had some kind of like funding for women's health in school, then perhaps all of this could have been avoided. She wouldn't have had all the tampons and maxi pads to
get
her.
Wait, am I such an idiot? Is that like her telekinesis started because of her? She was going through puberty?
Yes. In the film, they start as a teen. However, in the book, King offers a major incident in his story that clearly displays Carrie's abilities surfaced when she was just a little girl. Following an argument over a neighbor in a skimpy bathing suit, Margaret tries to kill Carrie. The neighbors hear cries, and then a storm of rocks comes raining down on the White home, and only on the White home. So this apparently happens when she's a kid in the book.
My interpretation of the telekinesis I don't know how to frame this in terms of who to blame, but what I found interesting in the movie was all of the action was the result of women getting men to do things and basically women moving objects with their minds, essentially, right? Mm. So on the one hand, you have Sam got her boyfriend to ask Carrie to the date. Why? Because she asked him to, and she was like, you know, wants to please her. Yeah. Sue. And then Chris got John Travolta to do the killing of the pig too. I mean, she got him to do. Sorry, John Travolta. Whatever.
Sure, Billy, but John Travolta, really.
Same idea.
And so she got him to kill the pig. She got him to set everything up. But you got to keep in mind, she's getting this guy to do all. So she's moving things with her mind over there too. Then you've got the coach, who I think the coach should go up on the board.
Yes, we'll talk about the coach.
We'll talk about the coach, but she's convincing all these girls to, you know, or whatever, she's punishing them for picking on Carrie. So, you know, and then that sort of starts the motion of Chris, you know, getting upset at her and lashing out and all that stuff.
A lot of mental gymnastics.
It's like teen girls are, and I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, I do know it is true. Teen girls are like notoriously manipulative. I mean, and there's
what?
I was.
Oh, as a monster. Absolute monster.
I think they're some of the scariest creatures.
I think there's a lot here, right? So I think first, before we even move on, we got to put the power of telekinesis up on the board. Because, and just so everyone knows, it's the ability to move objects through mind power. A brief history of mind magic says that, spoiler alert, there's no documented evidence that telekinetic powers are real.
I bet Chris could find some if you get deep on DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, I guess the first magician to use telekinesis was Uri Geller in the 70s, which makes sense why Stephen King... Okay, so telekinesis has, you know, a long history from like way before. We're talking like 19th century. But it comes back into popularity in the 70s. Magician Uri Geller, he's the one who like bends the spoons or whatever. And in the 80s, it has a comeback. Carrie comes out in 76. The book is written in 1974. So Stephen King really has his like finger on the pulse here. And then in the 80s, telekinesis is hot. I guess that's why Stranger Things, which is takes place in the 80s, that's why Eleven has all these telekinesis powers.
To me, telekinesis is only interesting as sort of like a stand-in as it represents something else. And in this case, I think what it's representing is women convincing with their mind men to do things. Here, what I think one of the key moments in the movie is when Carrie's dancing with Tommy on the dance floor, she insists on knowing why she's there. She keeps like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And he's like, because we're here. And she's just like, why did you take me here? And she's digging for these answers. And he kind of lucks out because he kind of has one, which is that she said she liked his poem at the beginning of the movie. And he kind of shrugs and says, it's because you like my poem. But we know that that's not true. We know that he's only doing it because his girlfriend told him to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think the absence of intent from a guy, because all the guys in this movie, including the teacher and the principal, are totally dummy. They're just dumb dummies. They're such dumb dummies. But and the lack of sort of intent from a guy, basically a woman telling a guy to do something is going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know exactly what
that is. Well, I'll do you one better and say I think it's a metaphor for female sexuality and the power and the power of, especially in teen girls, like how threatening that sexuality can be to men.
Put that up on the board. Female sexuality.
Put it up.
I also think suppression, particularly like female suppression, it just feels like Carrie is really trying to hold it together, and there's so many outside factors closing in on her. I mean, her mom, there's bullying, there's the societal pressure of like being pretty and popular and not weird. And then it just comes out in these, indirect, well, pretty direct, I guess, but indirect. Like she's not standing up for herself being like, stop bullying me. You know, she just like explodes a light bulb. So I would say it's misdirected or in indirect ways.
Yeah. I mean, the bloodbath at prom is pretty direct, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is pretty direct. Well, it takes her a little while to really hone her skills.
Well, and I think it's also, like, just high school in general because, like, I don't know, maybe it's hard. I don't know. It's just, like, your worst fear in high school was being tricked. And, like, anytime any popular person was nice to you, like, I don't know, did you guys ever feel suspicious that it was a trick?
Always. Well, I just think it's like you're always sus. Like you're just constantly sus. I'm always just like somebody is doing something to humiliate me. I always felt like that in high school all the time.
I was always the other side where I was trying to figure out who I can humiliate.
No.
And I had a big old list and I would just cross them off the list. Different kinds of blood. I would pour chicken blood on one of them and pig blood on another. No.
I think I'm realizing I really had it easy in high school because I went to this like performing arts high school. And so everyone was just like supportive.
So nice.
And I never
must have been nice.
Thought,
yeah. It is such a public school thing though, right? Yeah. I think it's a public school thing. Like people at public school are brutal. Hmm. And I feel like there's like more of an emphasis on sports and stuff, which is just like
the masculinity. Yeah,
Should we put sports on the board? Because it's like that is the PE class is also kind of what triggers her period.
Oh, so maybe working out. We should put working out.
Sports. Also, that's working out.
Yeah, the gym teacher, the detention that she like makes up for the girls is like they have to like go work outside, work out outside. Mm-hmm. That's detention. So something about being physical. We shouldn't have to be physical, you guys.
Right. Well, the opening scene is them playing volleyball and Carrie missing it and getting made fun of.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So maybe there is something okay. to sports.
I think sports, because sports is also kind of so aggro. And when you're someone like Carrie, it's like you can't really, you just don't fit in.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had our listener, we asked our listeners if there was something that they thought that we should put up on the board. And at APB_art wrote in and said, prom. Prom is to blame for most high school misery. And I think that we need to put prom up on the board.
I mean, it's so much pressure.
One thing I do want to say is in this prom, you couldn't go to prom without a date. That's for some reason, this is a rule at the school.
At this particular school?
Now that's screwed up.
That's how my school was.
What?
You couldn't like go to prom with a girlfriend.
Why?
Homophobia?
Put it up on the board.
Oh my God.
Chelsea, what did you go to prom? Were you the prom queen? That's my
question. I was not the prom queen. I did go to prom, but I remember the deepest anxiety about having somebody ask me, and it was like our group of guy friends like literally asked all my other girlfriends to go, and I was like, I'm not going to have a date, and there was like this one guy left. Okay. And we were friends, but like I didn't know if he like wanted to go with me or whatever. And I remember he like finally came up to me like in the CVS parking lot and was like, "Do you want to go? Like we're both the only ones left." And I was like, "Yes." But it was miserable. It was miserable. And I don't know that you could go with friends. I want to say you couldn't, which looking back now is insane.
Now, I'm just doing a quick time check. We're at 30 minutes, so let's, if there's anything else anyone wants to throw up on the board.
Wow,
Chelsea, if you have any ideas, if you think we missed anything, let's get them up.
Did we just do, like, good old-fashioned bullying?
Yes,
oh
bullying.
Oh, my God, of course. Good old-fashioned bullying.
Hello, we have to put Chris and Billy and Sue and Tommy up on the board.
Yeah, like
we can't not.
And I'll also say we should put Carrie up on the board.
Oh.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. I mean, Chris and Billy, okay, just for, so everyone understands, they're the ones who actually drop the pig's blood and they come up with the whole prank. Sue and Tommy, I guess they had the best, Sue has the best intentions. She feels bad about bullying Carrie, so she like, you know, asks Tommy to ask her to prom and perhaps good intentions, but ill-informed.
Yeah, and that she wouldn't have, Carrie wouldn't have been at the prom if, you know, if that hadn't happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this whole disaster could have been avoided. I also think we should put up the coach. I forget her name.
Miss Collins.
Miss Collins up there because she sort of put fuel on the fire. Like the first incident was this traumatic experience of her getting her period in the showers and they all made fun of her and threw tampons at her. But if the coach had just... She lined them all up. She gave them a real bad scolding and she dangled the fact that they might not be able to go to the prom if, you know, so she sort of put fuel on the fire and that's what sort of, I think spawned the whole thing because then Chris went off because she couldn't go to prom and then she made Billy do the pig's blood.
She made
prank.
It worse.
Yeah.
Put her up. I also want to put up society's obsession with periods. There's this a scene in the movie where Carrie says, "Everyone isn't bad, Mama. Everything isn't sinful." Then Margaret says, "Go to your closet and pray. Ask for forgiveness." Carrie says, "You'll like this boy." "You'll like this boy." Margaret says, "Boys, yes, boys, come next. After the blood, the boys come like sniffing dogs." She says, "Mama." And then Margaret says, "Grinning and slobbering, trying to find out where the smell comes from, where the smell is. That smell."
Well, she's not wrong.
But like, what is it about periods? Why are we so obsessed with periods?
Well, I think
I'm kind of obsessed with periods.
Yeah, why are we?
Because it's insane when you think about it. Like, it's crazy.
Mm.
Like once a month, like with the moon.
Well, it's like people are obsessed to the point of it's still taboo. And so right. I feel like there's also this fear of periods as well.
I guess because they also represent whether you're pregnant or not.
It's interesting because I do feel like, I mean, also it's just like this whole idea, and now this has changed, but the old pad commercials where like the period blood had to be blue. Because like the idea that if it were red, it would be so obscene, it couldn't be seen on TV. Mm. It's like, that's very confusing.
Right. Oh, I had never thought of that. That's why they put the blue liquid?
Mm-hmm. But now you see they're starting, like all the sort of like Thinks panties and stuff, the more progressive, like women-run brands are starting to use red.
Okay, we're going to start knocking things off the board right after this break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, who is to blame for the events that transpire in Carrie? Carrie's mom, Margaret, religious fanaticism. Lack of health education and public school system, teenage girls, power of telekinesis, power of female sexuality, suppression, sports, prom, bullying, Chris and Billy, Sue and Tommy, Carrie, Coach Collins, Miss Collins, or society's obsession with periods. Can I add two more things?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There he goes.
I want to add passive men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I think if any of these guys had woken up, shown a spine, how about the principal at the beginning of the movie? Call her Carrie. Like, her name's fucking Carrie. He can't pay enough attention to get her name right. And how about Tommy to say, like, no, I don't think this is right for us to take her. Or at least if we should take her, like, we'll be up front and say it was your idea. And say, let's, you know, like, the guys are just so exceptionally passive in this movie. It just drove me crazy. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to blame was not religious fanaticism, but religious abuse. I think there's a difference there when you use religion as a tool for abuse. Mm-hmm. I feel like the mom represented the opposite of a lot of what religion is about. So I don't want to conflate like fanaticism.
Yeah.
It's abuse. It's more.
You're right. It was child abuse. I mean, she gets locked in a closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prayer closets.
We got to start knocking things off the list. And my instinct is the first thing to knock off is sports.
Go team, go.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't know that we can blame prom for this. Prom has its own issues, but like, is prom really to like? I feel like it's all the things prom like perpetuates, but I don't think it's necessarily the event itself.
Yeah, it's part of the system. Perhaps it's like it's more about the education system, right?
Mm. Yeah, I wanna go higher up, you know.
Yeah, and I think prom, we could say we're kind of rolling that into teenage girls in a way.
Yes.
That's true.
Right, because if we had prom now, I feel like we would handle it much better. I feel like the four of us could go to prom and be like healthy, like, you know, healthy about it, mentally healthy about it. And, you know, we'd figure out like how we get there in a civilized way. No one's feelings would get hurt. You know?
We'd get made fun of for being old.
What about knocking off our obsession with periods? Because I do think that it's bigger than that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. That can roll into the power of female sexuality. Uh-huh. And I also think suppression can roll into like religious abuse or fanaticism.
Yep. Now, Sue and Tommy, I don't think they're technically to blame. Because let's take away all the other things in the movie. Like if Sue and Tommy, like if there wasn't the pig's blood that falls, Carrie might have had a really good time.
Yeah, she would have had a blast.
It would have been the night of her life. It
would have been all because of Sue.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take Tommy off of there because
Sue
is the one who tried her best to make this life, Carrie's life a little bit better, which is why she's probably why she's the only one who survives.
She's the only one who survives, yeah. Mm. Now, we haven't talked about this yet, but can we just pause for a moment and discuss how Tommy dies because a bucket falls on his head? I mean, I'm just saying the bucket falls out and he passes out like he's knocked out cold.
Now that's irony.
Especially with that mop of curls, you'd think it provides some protection.
The way I saw it, though, I was like, okay, so like in Jurassic Park, we're always like asked to like suspend our belief like in one major way in a lot of movies, right? So like Jurassic Park, it's that they got the DNA from the fossil, and then like you know, whatever other movies, it's bigger
Kong
things.
Is that there's a King Kong?
Exactly. in Carrie, we're, you know, we're asked to believe that he gets knocked out by a bucket. An empty bucket. I just want to say it's an empty bucket.
Well, I mean, we're also asked to believe in telekinesis, though. Yeah. So that's a big one, too.
So they're asking too much.
Yeah, the bucket's worse. But I guess if it got you in the right spot.
Okay. So they got what they had coming. Tommy got what he had coming, I guess.
You want to put heavy buckets on the list, Rebecca?
So what about religious fanaticism? I think we should move that into religious abuse. We can fold that in.
That's what was going on there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I also think like, so we have the mom, Margaret, and we have religious abuse. And I feel like one can roll in to the other. Mm. But what do you think about that?
I don't know. I feel like it's too early to separate. Like, I don't know if I can let the mom get away right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can let religious abuse get away before Miss Collins.
What if we roll in bullying to Chris and Billy or vice versa?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I think let's roll in bullying. Yeah, to Chris and Billy. And I think we can take out Miss Collins, the coach, because she really shouldn't have been getting involved. But I guess she was trying her best.
I got to tell you, though, just before, I mean, I'll take her off and everything. But when I watched that scene of her making all those girls stand up after the tampon incident, I knew where it was going. And I was like, this is not a good thing to do. Like, don't poke the bear. In this case, the bear is a bunch of teenage girls. Like, don't get on their bad side. And like, Carrie could have like stayed under the radar. Everything could have been okay, but the fucking coach had to poke the bear. Like, I mean, you guys were teenage girls once, you know. You know.
Yeah. Now, what about telekinesis? Can we take it perhaps off the list? It is literally what caused, if she didn't have these super like superpowers.
Yeah, like what else would she have done?
She just would have like cried.
So yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe telekinesis is to blame.
It might be. But if you think about it, if we're saying in the movie that what triggered the telekinesis was this sort of trauma of her experience, like with her mom and in the locker room, we could blame that trauma. If we wanted to knock off telekinesis, I think we could almost roll it into like, well, I also have to say how insane it is to have a locker room at school where everyone's naked together. That would not, that would have been my worst nightmare.
Wait, really?
I didn't have a, my school, maybe because I didn't play any sports, but like we definitely, there was never a situation where I was like showering with my classmates.
Not showering, but I remember being like naked in like our locker room.
Okay.
Like in between gym class? Is that crazy?
I would go.
No, that, I remember that. We had to do that.
I think
maybe
I would,
it was because Catholic school, Amanda.
Well, no, but then even in high school, like when I would change for dance class, I think I would like go into a bathroom stall. Like I don't, I never had access to a locker room.
Yeah. I never had a nice enough school where we had locker rooms. I would like change for dance class in the hallway. I was just like, hold up this sweater.
So I love how Rebecca and I were just in jazz class.
Where do we keep our capizios?
Like seriously. Okay, so we have Carrie's mom, lack of health education in public schools, teenage girls, the power of telekinesis, the power of female sexuality, Chris and Billy, Carrie herself, passive men, and religious abuse.
Can I vote that we take off power of female sexuality? Because I feel like women's sexuality, like they're only using it as a defense to what the men in their life are doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's female sexuality is a good thing, but I think it's so, it can be so threatening to men. So like, this is like a man's worst nightmare.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to that point, yeah. I think passive men can come off because it's just, the story is just not about them.
Not sure.
Not this time.
They don't
guys.
Help. Now, what about Carrie? Can we take her off the list? Because she feels like a victim here.
Mm.
I think so.
She is the one who causes the destruction.
Yes.
All of the destruction.
But they dump blood on her. They dump, I think if someone dumps
pig's
blood on you at prom, you have a right to like lock the doors and light the place on fire. Is that right?
I don't know about that. That's what I'm saying. I feel like telekinesis is more to blame than Carrie, because like if she didn't have these powers, you know, perhaps she couldn't have like gone that far. Mm. It's for the best that I didn't have telekinesis when I was a teenager. Because we would have all burned down everything. And now I'm glad I didn't do it, right? I'd probably be in jail with all of my friends as well. I guess jail's the place to be.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I'm going to take her off unless Chelsea objects.
Okay. No.
Okay. She doesn't object?
She's a victim.
And then what about teenage girls? I feel like we can kind of... I don't know. They're just kind of doing what they do. I don't know.
Yeah. What can you do? You have to be a teenager. Puberty is more likely to blame than teenage girls.
Yeah, and I think Chris and Billy are more, like, we can wrap teenage girls almost up into Chris and Billy, because they're the ones who really actively go after Carrie.
Yeah. There was that girl with the hat and her boyfriend.
Yeah, she sucks.
She sucked. She was the first to laugh at Carrie, too.
Yeah. What's her name? Reagan or something?
I don't know. She sucks, though. Nancy Reagan?
Nancy Reagan.
No. So, yeah, Nancy Reagan is definitely to blame for this.
Yeah.
I'm veering towards religious abuse, sending religious abuse to jail and slapping Chris and Billy. But
that Chris, man, she was rough.
She sucks. Yeah. And Billy is a woman. We haven't talked about how Billy beats her.
Oh, yeah. He smacks her. Oof. But that was a crazy scene, because that seemed like that's how they like were into each other. They like were,
right.
They had this weird sort of like S&M.
I don't know. I don't know. I was also like, I guess the 70s, it was okay to beat women. on film. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm leaning towards them going to jail.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Oh. Interesting.
But the mom. We're going to let the mom get away. She stabs Carrie in the back.
Like mother, like daughter.
But also, like, is... I guess the idea is, like, if we're getting rid of Carrie, like, we're saying Carrie's a victim, like, is her mom not, in a sense, a victim of, like, the religious abuse she kind of went through? Like, clearly she has her own issues. I think if our idea is that Carrie is also not a victim, I think Carrie's mom is also a victim.
Interesting. And I would say following that thread, though, Chris and Billy, who knows what abuse they were enduring at home, because they say, you know, when someone's a bully, they're getting bullied from, they've learned the behavior. So I don't know. That's an interesting thread to pull.
Well, Chris does get smacked by the teacher and the coach. One of my favorite parts of the movie is when somebody smacks that girl. And
it was so wrong, though.
No, but
imagine,
like,
a teacher smacking a student.
No, you're right. It was totally, totally uncalled
Chris
for.
Chris loved,
like,
it.
It was cathartic because, like, this she was a terror. She was a terror. And look at what she ended up doing. But I think that there is something to what Amanda and Chelsea are saying, in that there's abuse. Everyone in this film, in a way, is, like, obviously suffering from some kind of a sort of disorder as a result of abuse. I mean, the mother for sure. There's something going on psychologically, and I'm sure something happened to her, whether or not she was raped by her husband or whatever. But
so what about this? Now, what if we send religious abuse to jail and slap the power of telekinesis? Because again,
I'm kind of obsessed with that.
I just feel like no one should have this power, and, like, it would have helped. There's got to be a better way to deal with these issues, right? We can't just, like, burn the place down and kill everyone.
I like that, because it's also sort of making Carrie culpable, but without, you know, it's more like she had this uncontrollable power. And maybe if she hadn't have been abused, then she could have harnessed it, sort of like Elsa and Frozen.
Yeah.
Spun it into something good. I mean, they've done macrame, like, just like, or something.
We should have put something like, you know, a failure of, like, lack of mental health resources. We probably should have put that up on the board.
But I'm
going to call it. I'm going for it. Power of telekinesis. You're getting the big slap. Religious abuse. You're going to the alarmist jail. Did you guys know that Stephen King almost didn't write this book?
No. Tell us more.
His wife took the first few pages of the book out from the trash. He had started writing the book. He didn't like it. He was like, I'm going to throw it out. She was cleaning out the trash. She saw it. She read it. She took him out. And she was like, you got to finish this book. And it was the first book of his to get published, and the first movie of his to get published.
Wow.
So, wow. Power of a wife.
Women's ability to manipulate isn't always a bad thing.
Hey.
Passive men. But Chelsea, I mean, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the cult horror classic.
No, thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to say this was literally so fun.
After the horror movie Carrie, the film became a critical and commercial success, grossing over $33.8 million against its $1.8 million budget. It received two nominations at the 49th Academy Awards for Best Actress, Sissy Spacek, and Best Supporting Actress, Piper Laurie. Several publications have regarded it as one of the greatest horror films ever made. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at @TheAlarmistThe on Twitter, @TheAlarmistPodcast on Instagram, or email us at TheAlarmistPodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing who's to blame for what happened to Pocahontas.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.